Morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is the IRTPB call on the 5th of April. On the call, we have Mikey O'Connor, Michele Nilon, James Bladel, Barry Cobb, Paul Diaz, Simonetta Batiga, Bob Mountain, and for staff, we have Marika Cornix and myself, Glenda Saint-Jury. We are waiting for Baudouin Chombi, who is on another call, to join us. And we have apologies from Anil George, Kevin Erdmann, Barbara Steele, Matt Serlin. May I ask you to say your name before you speak for the transcription. Thank you very much, and over to you, Michele.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to IRTB Part B, the most exciting working group within the GNSO. Drum roll, please, Mikey. As per usual, I must ask, does anybody have an update to their statement of interest or an expression of interest, conflict, whatever that's called? Going once, going twice. Okay, no takers, fine. We were sent an email within the last couple of days about some changes in relation to the inner workings of the GNSO stuff. Marika, is there anything in that that we need to be particularly careful of? Because to be perfectly honest, I haven't had a chance to read it.
This is Marika. I think the main thing to take notice of is that the different labels for the level of consensus differ slightly from what was originally in our charter. So I think that's something, when the time comes when we get back to the recommendations and look at the different level of consensus, we might need to have a look at that and see which labels apply. I think for the rest, the working group guidelines basically codify existing practice. It provides in further detail as well some dispute resolution mechanisms, like if there's disagreement between working group members and the chair or the liaison and the working group members, there are different steps that can be followed. So in that respect, I would encourage people to review it. But I think the most important thing for the work this working group is doing is the different level or labels for the different level of consensus that we'll need to record in our final report.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or queries related to this? Nothing? Perfectly clear? Okay, moving on. Right then, the public comment period is now closed, and Marika, as with her new shiny title of Senior Policy Director, has put together a summary for us of the comments received. We didn't receive that many, to be perfectly honest. We received, how many were there? Six or something? Is that right?
Seven.
One, two, three, four, seven. Sorry, I missed one. Okay, so ALAC, the BC, the registries, the registrars, Internet Commerce Association, the trademark people, the INTA, and the registrars, or should I always say that,
and GoDaddy.
And GoDaddy. Hello, GoDaddy. Good afternoon. How are you? No, we won't make any comments. Anyway, right then. So, Marika sent round the summary of comments to you all yesterday, at some point during the day, depending on where you are based. It was sent by you, James, so it's we're going to blame you for it, whether regardless. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I didn't have a chance yet to put the different comments into a table format, which we used in the previous round of comments to for review and capturing in that way as well the responses of the working group to each of the different comments. And my question is just like the working group members think that's useful, and I can prepare that for the next call. So, we can use that as a way of going through the different comments and responding to each of those.
Well, okay. The question I suppose is this: is that are we going to need to do a huge amount of analysis of these comments? I mean, is there a lot of pushback in the comments that we need to address?
If you can see in the comments, I mean, the bulk of the comments relate to recommendation one, as that was as well the area where we asked specific input and feedback on a number of questions. So I think that's where most of the work still lies ahead, and the working group I think is conscious of that as well, as that was one of the items where we made the basic recommendation, but we didn't go really into the details. I think for some of the other items, it's probably more a question of recognizing the comments, and there's some small points that that people made that the working group might want to consider, or certain clarifications might want to be added to some of the recommendations. But as I said, I think the main work lies in item one, and it might be helpful to have that in the table format, so it can be easily tracked. And I think we are trying to use a way of recognizing comments received and being able to provide those that submitted comments a way as well to track what was actually done with our comments, and showing that the working group did look at those and did review them in detail.
Okay. Mr. Bledel, good afternoon. You have your hand up.
Good morning. Thanks, Michele. This is James speaking. And I think that this is kind of a build on what Marika was mentioning about the public comments, but I was also thinking about some of the questions received during the interaction with the community, and then also with the council update that you presented on the weekend before San Francisco. And it seems to me that the general themes are that we need to, one, identify the level of consensus for all these recommendations, and I think that we understand them to be widely supported, if not unanimous. But then, two, a lot of these were not necessarily receiving pushback, but just more requests for more detail, more elaborate, more specific recommendations with perhaps some implementation details. So it seems like from where I'm coming from, it seems like that's what our task is before us between now and the cutoff for Singapore.
Okay. And we're getting lots of expressions of support for this from Mikey and Paul. So what would be the suggestion moving forward today then, James?
One proposal might be to flesh out item number one based on the feedback that we specifically requested and received, and then the next task might be to go through each of the remaining recommendations and make a determination of whether or not that is still work that remains for this group, or if that's work that we're recommending you'll be taken up by a subsequent working group or drafting team or implementation team or whatever. Put levels of consensus on all of the recommendations and then wrap it up and deliver it to council.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any other comments at this time? Don't all rush.
Chris here, Michele.
Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, I just joined late. There was also a request by Christina in council, if I remember correctly, for us to prioritize in some way the list of recommendations, I think. Wasn't that correct?
Yeah, well, she did ask about that. I mean, the only thing that... Well, that kind of threw me, because I didn't really view what we were doing as being something that you could break into kind of priorities. Personally, I couldn't see how you would do that. But that's just me. I mean, if somebody else has some input on that, please feel free.
Well, we had no intention to prioritize in what we'd done, and people were picking it up as number one was ahead of number two and three. So people were obviously picking something up that we hadn't intended. But we've been asked to do it, so maybe we could give it a go, and if we can't do it, then say that we haven't done it or something.
I mean, I suppose I've got a queue building up here. I mean, the last thing I'd say on this before I go to the queue is this: the reason why we hadn't done it is, from my perspective, was that we it wasn't really an issue. It's not like we're kind of going on. We were asked to deal with specific queries. It's not like we're kind of inventing something kind of new and or something. I don't know. I'll take Marika, then James, then Barry.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just a note that I'll try as well in the table and to capture the comments that were made during the council session as well as the public session. I'll look at my notes, and then, of course, others are welcome to add to that. On the issue of prioritization, I think there's something the working group might want to consider is in for those items that are requiring further work by the community and the council, such as I think there are at least two or three requests for issue reports, that is where the council may want to express a preference or indicate to the council, like, if you have to do, you know, pick between these three items, we would suggest that you start first with that one and then that one and that one, taking into account that, you know, the current workload situation at the council level, that, you know, it's unlikely that they'll be able to take all of those issues on at the same time. But I agree that from the perspective of those items that move to implementation, there seems to be less sense of usefulness in prioritizing those, because those are basically passed on to staff for implementation, and that just takes its course, and they might identify that, you know, more time or less time is needed, but I think they normally are done in the most expedient way as possible.
Okay. James, and then Barry.
Thanks, Michele. This is James speaking. I'll be brief. I think I'm agreeing with what Marika said. We really only need to prioritize those items that require follow-on work, and I think that there was either mistaken or perhaps we implied that by the order we presented the recommendations that was our preference or level of consensus, but we just need to be clear that they're being presented in the order that they appeared in the charter, and leave it at that. Thanks.
Barry? Barry?
Thanks, Kaylee. It's Barry. Just to carry on with what Marika and James said, I definitely support some sort of prioritization. In fact, you know, I think what we're starting to experience from the fallout of RAP is that the council is looking for much more of a prescriptive case on how a lot of this should be implemented. And better yet, I think the more prescriptive we are as to what should be moving forward and how it should move forward, the better chance it has of getting implemented in a much more expedient way. We're competing with a lot of other work out there. We in this working group are the experts with respect to these recommendations, and when they get passed up to the next level, some of that seems to get watered down. So again, I think Mikey can back me up with this. The more prescriptive we are in how we present these recommendations to the council, the better chance it has of getting implemented in a much more expedient way.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? No? Okay, then. Right. Okay, so Marika's going to do up one of those little table things, and she's going to try and put in there already some of the comments that we've received during the public meetings in San Francisco. We agree that with respect to those items, now please correct me if I get this wrong, but those items that don't need extra studies or whatever, that just go to implementation, and that we are to prioritize the ones that need further work. Is that correct? Have I kind of summarized that correctly, or does somebody disagree with me? No disagreements? Okay, then. Now, looking at the comments that we have received, the bulk of them seem to be in relation to the emergency action channel. So, since I'm Irish and probably quite illogical, I think we should come back to that. Item number 5 I put on the agenda for today was to discuss the approach for further refinement of that, but since we've received so many comments in relation to it, I think we'll take that off the agenda because it's actually on the agenda indirectly. Now, in terms of timelines, Marika, what's the final date that we would have to have something if we were trying to put this to bed by Singapore?
This is Marika. I believe the publication deadline for Singapore is the 30th of May, but I think taking into account that this actually will go to the council and it's not a document that will be available for, you know, public review or public discussion, I'm actually assuming that the 8-day publication deadline applies. I think earlier would be better, because I think if we only submitted 8 days in advance of the public meeting that the council has in Singapore, I think it's likely that a deferral might be requested as stakeholder groups and constituencies will need time to review and discuss the comments or the report. So I think it might be better to stick to maybe the 30 May deadline to give the council as well as the constituencies and stakeholder groups sufficient time to review the recommendations and have it on the agenda then for the council meeting in Singapore.
Okay. And what's the meeting before that?
Do you have the calendar at hand? I can quickly look it up. But basically, for any normal GNSO meeting, the deadline is 8 days in advance of a meeting taking place. Or I would actually need to double check that, because I think there's some additional requirements if it concerns policy recommendations. So,
which meeting are you looking at, Marika?
The one before Singapore.
The one before Singapore will be the 9th of June, and the document deadline is 1 June.
Okay,
and
so
just to confirm, was there a different deadline in relation to documents that concern, you know, policy-related votes? I recall some kind of difference that they had on policy decisions or issues.
No, I don't think there was a decision made on that. There was talk of it.
I'll double check on that, and if it's different, I'll send a note to the mailing list.
Okay, so we're looking at the end of May, basically, if we want to get it in for the last GNSO meeting before Singapore.
Correct.
Is that correct, ladies?
Correct.
Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, of members of the working group, is there anybody on here who feels strongly that we will not be able to make that deadline at this juncture? So are we all feeling optimistic? Mikey, are you feeling optimistic?
Well, I'm always optimistic, so that doesn't work.
Bob, are you optimistic?
Absolutely.
Good. I love the way he says that with, you know, totally, he's unflappable. Paul, are you feeling optimistic?
Yeah, come on, Michele, let's get going.
Okay, thank you. Right then. All right then, so can we, so let's see, it's 3:20 today, so let's see if we can actually get through some of the comments that we've received in relation to the other recommendations. Or is there any other matters that somebody wants to raise as a matter of urgency today? Mikey, go ahead.
Well, this is sort of a process thing, but, you know, it might be easier to just write a draft of the emergency action channel stuff based on the comments plus sort of common sense that probably flows mostly from registrars and registries, so that, you know, we've got a draft to work from. And you know, I don't know who should write it, but it does seem like rather than stepping through the comments sort of one at a time, it might be easier just to sort of have a person or a small group go off and punch out a draft for us to review.
Okay, so you're volunteering for that, are you, Mikey?
I could do it if
okay.
If
okay,
nobody
that's
else
one volunteer.
Forward.
Would somebody else like to volunteer to help Mikey with this?
This is James. I'll volunteer.
Okay. Mikey, James, thank you. So you'll be able to report back to us. You'll have something ready before the next meeting.
Yes. Sure.
Perfect.
The
okay,
rednecks,
can we have a...
The rednecks strike again.
Well, it's we finally found a use for you, so I think this is a good thing. You still have your hand up, Mikey. Anything else on that matter?
No, sorry.
That's okay. Right, can we move on to reviewing the other comments which are not related to the emergency action channel? Right then, Charter Question A, Recommendation 2. Recommendation 2. The Registry G... The RYSG, okay, there you go, notes that most of the registries agree with this recommendation. ALAC recognized the importance of registrant education and notes that ALAC and at-large may be considered one of the possible channels for the implementation of this recommendation. The BC also notes its support for a proactive approach and offers its support for developing and promoting best practices in this area. Okay, do we need to do anything further here rather than just to note these and thank them for their support? Is there anything else we need to say to them? Deathly silence.
This is Mikey. Too slow on the trigger. I think that we might want to go just one step further and place a burden on the ALAC and the BC to get going on this. I think thanks is great, but I don't know exactly the process, and maybe this is a question for Marika and Glenn. If we are, as a working group, saying to a couple of stakeholder groups, we accept your offer and want you to get started, how do we go about doing that in this report?
James, one suggestion would be we, give them some specifics of, how they might start that process, and then also maybe tie a date to a follow-up.
Yeah, I like that. So anyway, I think we might want to...
Marika has also got a hand up there,
yeah.
Mikey.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think at the same time, we probably need to take into account that there might be other groups or constituencies or stakeholder groups that might be involved in this effort. So just because maybe the ALAC and BC specifically expressed an interest in doing it, so I think we should be wary as well in just tasking these two groups and taking care of it. But, maybe recognize that, there is already an interest from these groups and, maybe call that out and saying these groups, are willing to take this forward, but recognizing as well that, of course, it shouldn't be a closed effort and others that are interested should be able to join as well.
Okay. Mikey?
I'm a little uncomfortable just leaving it at that because, this is sort of like there's been no to-do item assigned. I'd like us to assign somebody to actually do something by a date.
Well, okay, how about then? Okay, here's a silly suggestion, just a silly suggestion, that maybe we could follow up with ask the chairs of those respective groups to come back to us with actionable follow-up items or something. Mikey?
I think it's in our brief to say to the groups that have already volunteered through their comments and others, I agree with Marika on that they should get going. I think that's part of what we as a PDP team have the authority to do, or at least we get to state it as a as an action, and then the council gets to approve it. So I'd just as soon not leave the ball outside our court. I'd like to hit the ball.
Okay. Well, if you can come up with some wording for that, Mikey. Marika and then Simonetta?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think we do need to be careful to, you know, not jump ahead, because it's actually, you know, the council's prerogative to adopt these recommendations and I think task further work. So I think we should be careful in you know, taking on that role ourselves as a working group and asking people to do certain things while we, you know, haven't received yet the endorsement from the council for these recommendations. So,
can we make a recommendation to council that those stakeholder groups follow through on something?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I don't know how you want to capture that, you know, but that's the solution there. Simonetta?
Hi, this is Simonetta. Maybe we could come up with a couple of ideas for both of these stakeholder groups and then just bounce them over to them and ask them for feedback. And if they're saying, yes, this goes along the ways of what we were thinking, or maybe they come back to us and tell us, no, we were thinking this, so that we could have one or two items that we could recommend to the council to say, we spoke to these groups, we both think this would be a good way to go about this. How about you think, or you formally approve this and we're moving forward?
Simonetta, I get exactly what you're saying, but I think one of the problems we would have with that is that the ALAC already have asked for extensions on several comment periods due to the number of comment periods and papers that they have to submit comments on. So I'm not sure if we were to ask them for some input here specifically, that might push it out for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's just my one fear with it. But Simonetta, go ahead.
I'm wondering, though, so if this is really short, if this is basically not more than a half page of content as a follow-up to their comment, to just ask them, you mentioned you support this and you think that you would want to be considered as one of the possible channels for the implementation of this recommendation, would these two items be kind of what you're thinking about? And if there is no pushback and no, this goes in the complete wrong way, then we could just put this there as an idea for the council to say, hey, this might be something that they are willing to do.
Okay. Right. Okay, then. Moving on. Charter question B. Recommendation 3. The registry stakeholder group notes that all but one registry agreed with this recommendation. The one registry that did not agree with this recommendation noted that ICANN staff and GNSO volunteers are overloaded at this time. INTA expresses its support for the recommendation. GoDaddy recognizes the benefits of Thick Who Is in the context of transfers, but recommends that unintended consequences of requiring this change, particularly with large incumbent registries, should also be considered. By large incumbent registries, I assume that we can just replace that with VeriSign. That's okay. We've discussed this in the past, so that's okay. The ICA makes no objections to this recommendation. Notes no objection to this recommendation, sorry. The BC also notes its support for this recommendation, but also suggests that an alternative approach that could be explored would be direct conversations with incumbent thin registries about a possible change to Thick Who Is. Is there anybody from the BC on this? Oh, wait a second, we have Chris. Chris?
Hey,
could you?
I resemble that remark. I'm from the BC.
Are you? I thought you were in back. Okay, Chris. Or Mikey. Since Mikey's now got his nose out of joint.
Don't say that, Mikey.
Always like that.
He always looks like that. And Barry, are you BC as well, or are you something else?
He's a BC.
Well, I'm actually an individual on the working group, but I am a member of the BC, yes.
Okay, we'll lump you in with BC then for laughs and giggles. Are there any other BC people that I've forgotten about on this call? No. Okay. Gentlemen, what is the difference, in your own words, or between having direct conversations with incumbent thin registries and an issues report suggestion?
This is Mikey. Let me take that, because this is something that was suggested during the council meeting where we were discussing this, and it seemed like a good idea. I can't remember who suggested it right offhand, but the point was raised, you know, do we really need a full-blown issues report, PDP, blah, blah, blah process, when in fact all it's really required is a direct conversation with one registry? And so I threw it in there as an alternative to the full-blown 20.
Okay. All right, so basically what you're suggesting isn't a case of you disagree with the idea of what was being
talked about,
but it was more a case of this would be a hell of a lot faster.
Yeah, and a lot less.
That's fine. I know I was probably sitting there when the suggestion was made, and I was probably the person chairing the meeting at the time, but...
Yeah, you were busy.
Probably, you know, brain elsewhere. That's okay. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Probably the person that made that comment is the same one registry that did not agree with the recommendation on you know, the notion that the ICANN staff and engineers or volunteers are overloaded. But I just wanted to comment that, of course, direct discussions presume probably that there's some kind of benefit and we talk about a certain switch. Well, I think the objective of the PDP, and I think it's also recognized in the comment from GoDaddy, and as well, I think the way the working group has written the recommendation itself is that a PDP would actually look at, you know, positive as well as negative effect of a possible change. And, you know, the recommendation is not necessarily recommending a change to pick who is, but I think the PDP would have as a, you know, probably additional benefit that indeed you explore it from all different angles before you actually make that recommendation to switch or not. Well, presumably, you know, direct conversations start off on the basis that, you know, a switch should be done and one looks at the practical issues that are maybe involved in that. So that might be one of the differences in the two approaches that are on the table or considered.
Okay. All right, then. So what is... Okay, let's see. So what is our action item here, then? Should we recommend that we have a formal discussion with the registry operator who is most impacted by this, or what should we do? Mikey?
I think it's worth at least talking to Barbara about it. It's too bad she's not on the call today, but maybe...
Okay, so how about we just follow up with Barbara via email? I don't know why... Did she... Is she away this week, or is she just missing this meeting, or what's the story? Does anybody know? Simonetta?
I'm just wondering about one thing. I mean, there is this GoDaddy comment on this whole issue that says we should be looking at unintended consequences of this change. And if I recall our conversation right, the reason why we didn't just say we want to do this is because there's people on this group that think this needs to be weighed. There's pros and cons to this approach. If you just go to the registry and ask them, hey, why don't you change, then there is the possibility that they just do it and this conversation will not happen. So, or the conversation about the pros and cons will not happen. So I really wonder if this is what we want, because if we want this direct implementation regardless of the consequences. We could have written that, but we didn't do that. We said we really want this to be explored before making a change.
Okay. Paul Diaz and then James.
Yeah, thanks, Michele. Beyond what Simonetta said, and I think I was the one previously unintended consequence is almost an assured rate hike. So for everybody, let's carefully weigh whatever cost you think you'll incur supporting transfers in a thin registry model as opposed to another 7% increase or 10% in .NET. I sincerely doubt that the scales tip in favor of the transfers. But the other thing is, remember that .NET is currently up for renewal. I know that VeriSign is negotiating with ICANN right now. My understanding is that they're very close to having a draft renewal registry agreement ready for community review. Bottom line is that we're probably far too late to get them to change .NET outside of or within the contract renewal discussions. And .NET likely will serve as a template for all GTLD, incoming GTLD renewals. So, you know, if we're going to have any discussions, if you're thinking about it, focused on .com, you know, that's due no later than November of next year, 2012. Realistically, an ask like this is a pretty enormous undertaking. And so if this is really what the working group thinks we should be doing, time's of the essence. We should not delay at all because inserting ourselves into or starting a conversation and then having that factored into registry agreement contract negotiations, believe it or not, the timing is working against us. There's really not that much time.
Okay. James and then James, then Rob, then Simonetta.
Hi, Michele. Thanks. James speaking. And I agree with Paul as well as Simonetta that, you know, there is a discussion or there were several discussions about not rushing into this as a requirement headlong or just asking them to do this, but really just getting a better sense of what all the benefits and costs would be. I think that possibly one approach might be a hybrid approach, which is to request the issues report, but specifically state in there that, you know, we would like some, you know, direct input into that issues report on some basic questions from COM and NET operator that, you know, might help inform this discussion and get those pros and cons out where folks can discuss them. Thanks.
Rob?
Currently, it's only COM and NET that operate the SIN registry module within the ICANN domain. And with NET being up for review, are they not being asked to bring their terms, conditions, and policies in line with what all new GTLDs are being expected, and therefore move to thick who is anyway?
I don't think we know that, Rob. Unless somebody else knows something. Does anybody know anything?
I don't think we know that.
Rob, as the .NET contract is a contract between ICANN and VeriSign, until such time as it goes out for public comment and feedback as part of the I think it's part of the RCEP system, isn't it, guys? Or would somebody, or Marika would know? We wouldn't have any visibility on it, as far as I know. So the answer is, at the moment, we don't know, and our very signed person isn't on the call. Simonetta?
I was just thinking about, along the same lines with what Paul was also saying with the timeline of this, and obviously in also what Rob was saying, if those folks are negotiating this right now, there's two people at the table. There is obviously the registry at the table that is trying to negotiate, and then there is someone from ICANN at the table as well. So I think it would be, if we're going down this route of just having or recommending to have a conversation about these things, then we should maybe also speak or recommend that the people on the ICANN side that negotiate with the FIN registries should take into consideration what effects it has to have a FIN registry in relation to transfers and hijacking and all these things, to take this into consideration when they renegotiate the .NET and then also when they renegotiate the .com down the road.
Okay. Anybody else? No? Okay. I think I'm going to have to have a chat with Marika after this call just to see in terms of process what we're allowed to do. But I think there's some very valid points that have been raised, so we shouldn't just kind of rush into this.
McKelly, Chris here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we at not least send a copy of our draft final report to the unnamed person deep in ICANN that is negotiating the contract?
Well, we could do, Chris, but there's one thing, is that the question has been raised, do we even want to do that? As in, is it in our interest to wake that beast?
The .NET is a better testbed beast, isn't it? More manageable beast than the .com.
Yes, but the point that Paul and a couple of others have raised is that if VeriSign were to go thick, then they would probably impose a fee increase as well. So there might be other complications as well. Simonetta, is that a new hand?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was thinking along the same lines again, and I was wondering. I do believe our main concern was an increase in rates. If that's true and we don't have any other main concerns around this, and there's like broad support of, hey, if they do not increase the fees because of this, we really all want this. The perfect person to negotiate that they are required to do this without increasing the rates beyond whatever other things they are is the person within ICANN that's currently negotiating this stuff. So making them aware of this would be desirable to have for the whole community. Everyone supports this. The one concern the whole community also has tying to this is that they do not want to have the rates increase. They would be the ones who can negotiate this and their renewal of the contract right now. So if there is other big concerns, then maybe we should make a list of what these are and just inform the parties negotiating about this is something you should consider.
I can see that some of the guys are talking about this in the chat here, and maybe they don't want. Paul and James, are either of you going to specifically state what you think might be unintended consequences of this beyond the fee change, or should I just be the bull in the china shop who can come up with all sorts of crazy, nasty things that could happen. Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, McKinley. One quick one, guys. One, I want to say for the record, I want to get off the fee increase discussions. With antitrust, it starts getting very, very weird in an ICANN environment for contracted parties. We'll be talking about fees and rates and things like that. So, okay, it's on the record, but let's move along. Another potential unintended consequence, guys, is if VeriSign can now see all the customer data, there is the possibility that they will start directly marketing to registrants. And
question on that. Are they, you probably know the answer to this better than I do, under the current contracts that they have with ICANN, are they restricted from doing that or not?
I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to try and give legal advice on that, but I think that there's enough wiggle room that the argument could be made that that is a valid potential unintended consequence of switching to thick registry.
Okay. Anything else? I think we're going to have to come back on this. Mikey, go ahead.
Just a little short one, and that is that, you know, given that the negotiation's going on, this seems like another facet of the negotiation, you know, kind of carrying on Simonetta's point that this is a better time to be having this briefing of the unnamed ICANN person than after these contracts have been negotiated. And maybe the point that James and Paul are raising should be included in our punch list for that group.
Okay. Okay, now I'm getting a bit kind of confused here. I'm actually scratching my head. Okay. We can't talk about we don't want to talk about fees because that people get concerned that that moves into antitrust territory.
Well, non-contracted parties can talk about fees. We'll carry that ball for you.
Okay, so you can talk about fees, but I can't.
Right.
Okay. So basically, yourself, Barry, and Chris can talk about it, and the other contracted parties feel that they can't continue to be. Okay, this is hurting my head. Okay, right.
Chris here.
Moving on. My poor head is hurting now.
Michele, there's not a lot to talk about the fees, is it? It's just an item on the list.
No, it's the thing I'm trying to get my head around is, do we want to talk to VeriSign/ICANN about this now, or do we want to just include something in our final report stating something else? This is the thing I'm kind of struggling with in terms of where do we go with this? Because I'm seeing kind of nasty side effects from doing various different things that I really don't want to pursue unless I have to. Mikey?
Maybe here's a way forward. I think, you know, we've got people that we're sort of talking about who aren't on the call. I think we need to get Barbara on the call, and I think we also need Marika for you to reach out into the ICANN crowd and find out where the key dates are in this process. If it turns out a key date is coming up inside of 30 days, I think we have different options in front of us than if the negotiation isn't scheduled to be completed for another 6 months, let's say. So maybe what we do is we break off from this for a week, reach out to some of these folks who have more information than we do. And then if it turns out that we are going to communicate with ICANN negotiators and VeriSign directly, then we'll segregate the conversation about fees to non-contracted parties. How about that?
Well, the other thing, though, is in terms of, with respect to actual process, can we, as a working group working on a report that hasn't been signed off on by counsel, take that upon ourselves or not?
I think it depends on the dates. I think if the dates are far enough out that we have time, the right approach is to run it up through the council.
Right. Okay. Okay, then. So we can continue this discussion possibly next week when Barbara's on the call. And in the interim, we can tentatively, very carefully put out feelers to find out with respect to process and find out where exactly this thing is in terms of dates. Okay, then. Right, then. We're running short. We're running up to 7 minutes to the top of the hour, so I don't really want to start getting into another bit of matter of question of feedback, because we're not going to actually get through it. So I think what I would do is, Paul, go ahead.
Thanks, Michele. I agree. It's hard to start. Not that I'm looking to lose more time in my busy days, but if we have this target deadline in mind, does the working group need to think about perhaps stretching these meetings to 90 minutes per week, because I don't see us getting through all these various things, especially the details on the emergency action channel, once we come back with a proposal. The 60 minutes a week is just not going to cut it. Can people commit to a 90-minute? Does that work for ICANN staffing and scheduling, et cetera?
Okay. Let's rephrase. Does anybody on the call have a serious issue or impediment with us pushing to 90 minutes? I'll take that silence to mean no. Okay, so Marika or Gisela, could you have a look at the schedule to see about extending this to 90 minutes starting next week?
Okay.
And let's see how we're fixed schedule-wise. And if that is not feasible, then maybe look at finding another slot somewhere on the timetable for, say, 45 minutes, 1 hour, or something, for a second call or something like that. Okay, then. It's now 6 minutes to the top of the hour. Does anybody have any other matters that they wish to raise today? Okay. If nobody has anything else, then I will speak to you all next week. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you, Michele.
Thanks, Michele.
Bye.
Thanks, Michele.